Ezekiel chapter 33, if you will, please. Ezekiel chapter 33, we're going to be basically challenged today out of the first 11 verses. You don't need a lot to get challenged from the Word of God, amen. You know, the Bible really has one message for a person that's not saved: you must be born again.
Amen.
But the Bible always addresses those of people of faith, amen. It always addresses me. Ezekiel is confronted by God Almighty, and he's giving him a mission here. Now, I understand that this is obviously a scripture related specifically, intently, intimately between God, a Jewish prophet, and the nation of Israel. But once you get saved, the Bible says we become part of the commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. So whatever promise Israel has, you are a part of that promise, and one day the entire world will be governed out of Jerusalem, the city of the mighty King. Amen. Mm-hmm. The Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the meantime, we have a responsibility to share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this whole thing that's coming up here real soon with this walk, what is that all about? That's about the fact that Jesus died for all men, right? One of the verses of the Battle Hymn of the Republic always inspires me. He has died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free. Wow, man, I get goosebumps even thinking about it. Because if Jesus died for all men, that means every individual has an intrinsic value that cannot be ignored or done away. You know, you think about it, Hitler would have been ahead of his time had he lived in these days, right? That's just intrinsic in the human race to devalue life where God exalts it. Satan would diminish it. And that's what that's about. It's not about being confrontational, let's pick a fight. No, we're gonna walk because somebody has to speak up. And it's up to the church to do that. And we got to be ready with the gospel of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
So, so we have a responsibility before men. And I thought on Ezekiel chapter 33, and I need somebody to pray for me because I need help. Amen. Brother Ben, would you, you got Mr. Carter there with you. You know, I just noticed you got a picture too, brother.
The salamander.
Would you pray for us, brother, as I try to bring God's word, please?
Sure, let's pray.
Thank you.
God, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, Jesus. We thank you, God, for your love and mercies. We pray, Jesus,
you,
for
Jesus.
Pastor and his heart and his mind and his words, God. I pray that you touch our hearts through him. I pray, God, for this walk, of course, as it is a stand that we must do for your honor and your glory, God, and not fear. I pray, God, in your name that you will go ahead of us, protect us, and be with that situation, and we put it in your hands, not ours. It's not us to worry about. I pray, God, that you do so for your honor and your glory. Be with all of us here today, all the families represented.
Yes.
And we thank you for this. In your name we ask. Amen.
Amen. And by the way, I'm trying to get here early on a Sunday morning because I want to stand out there and give out gospel tracts and maybe invite somebody in for the service. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah. All right.
So if you could participate there, and we'll get here around 9:30 or so, and we'll go out there and share some, whoever will listen, right? Some will listen, some will reject, but that's okay. I did that for many years, and then one day I got saved. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. So, amen. We'll do that, and we'll it goes to the heart of the message. In Ezekiel 33, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, and you want to hang on to that phrase, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Mm-hmm. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, and thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? What a potent and imposing question. Why will ye die? You know that there's a lot of, we could discuss different strategies and how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I like this approach. When was the last time you asked a lost family member, your mom, your dad, your neighbor, hey, why will you die? I think that's a great approach. One of the approaches is, if you should die right now, are you certain that you would have eternal life with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I use that one a lot. But I think I'm going to add to that, and I'm going to ask people, I've got this one guy that now I got a Bible to him. He asked me for a Bible, and I've been talking to him in the gym. But that's a great question. Isn't that an imposing question? Mm-hmm. Why will ye die? People don't like to talk about these things, but God doesn't have a problem with it. And God tells the prophet, you tell these people, why will you die? Let me ask you a question. You believe that America is spiritually dying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And we need to ask the question, why will you die? Because that was Israel's. They had a great start, you know. I mean, it was ebbs and flow. They had, like America, we have had revivals, spiritual revivals, and greatness breaks out. But right now, I think out in the middle of a country, there's been some revival, but there's certainly some real need for revival here on this side. And if you take God seriously, then you will participate in this prayer time on the 24th. There has never been a revival without some serious fasting and prayer. America doesn't have a political problem. America has a spiritual problem.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We need to tell people from the gutter to the White House that we all have an account to God. And without Jesus, you can do nothing.
Amen.
I always tell people, one of the things, Brother Marcus, about our ministry, we deal with a lot of people from outside. They're leaving their countries to come here, and they never ask the question, why do they come here?
Right.
Well, it's up to me to tell them. Mm-hmm. You're here because there was a spiritual, biblical foundation that made America what it is. Yeah, it's not industry. Yeah. certainly is not the educational system. Although few know that all the Ivy Leagues, in their constitution, in order to be a professor, you had to profess Christ. Did you know that historically?
They've lost their way.
To say the least. In order, in fact, the word professor comes from that tradition. Professor means you profess Christ. Can you imagine that? When was the last time they taught that in your school? Anyways, this is where we are. But the question is, why will ye die? Isn't there something in you intrinsically where you want to live? Amen? Don't you ever go... Have you ever been hit with a baseball?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Why do you duck?
It hurts.
Amen. You've got to be totally insane to take your life. You've got to be a total coward to take your life. But people are built with intrinsic desire to live, which is natural. And yet, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But why will you die? And that, and God is telling you, if you're saved, you are now a prophet. Why? Because you know the end. You know intrinsically, now that you're saved, you know that if your mother or your dad or your cousin or your neighbor or your friend or the person that you don't know, you know that if that person does not receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're going to die. Are you telling people that Jesus has the power to save them? Why would they die? Ezekiel, it's up to you to tell your people that they're going to die if they don't turn. Are you taking the message personally, or do you think this is just for Ezekiel? You are a prophet. You can tell people the future. If they're saved, there's one future for them. And if they're not saved, hold your spot here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, look at verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and you know what I like about the shortness of that right there? You don't have to do any of the other stuff that goes with the rest of this verse. All it takes is to be fearful of salvation. All it takes is unbelief. But there's more associated. In other words, there's a comma, and all it takes is one of them to disqualify a person and qualify them into the burning pits of hell forever. But the fearful, comma, and unbelieving, comma, and the abominable, comma, and murderers, comma, and whoremongers, comma, and sorcerers, comma, and idolaters, comma, and all liars, comma, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you really think that just because you go to church that you're saved, or because you have a religion that you're saved? Do you really think that God cares about a denomination when Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you do not have Jesus only for your salvation, he is the Son of God, he is the Son of Man, he is the Lamb of God, and there's nothing else. And there's no one else. We got to tell them, do not confuse Jesus with religion.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
He is the I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Someone asked me the other day, in fact, I got to call her, my granddaughter-in-law, I forgot her name. When you forget your grandkids' names, you know you're in trouble. Amelia. She asked me if a person needs to believe that Jesus is God in order to be saved. The response is, a person that is saved will know that Jesus is God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the one that reveals the person of Jesus Christ. No man can call Christ Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If you're not born again, you're not going to know that Jesus is God. God does not have a mother. Anybody that says mother of God does not know God. God doesn't have a mother. God created everything that exists, including Mary. She is a descendant of David, as was Joseph a descendant of David, and God promised David that from his seed he would be born. Right? So if Mary's the mother of God, then David is a long distant grandfather of God. I don't think God has a grandparent either. Anyone born of the Spirit of God will know that Jesus is God.
Amen.
That's how it goes. God doesn't have a denomination. He's it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is the God of the universe.
That's it.
Amen.
There's one God. One Savior. One man between man and God, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's why Jesus called himself the Son of Man. And notice the testimony, because a prophet is in fact a representative of a future event. And Jesus, the Bible says, that the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. You got that?
That's a fact.
So if you and I have any hope, it's because Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords as much as he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. Jesus is everything.
Amen.
And he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Why will you die? Why will he die? Have you ever felt disillusioned or discouraged by another man? Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever failed you and made you feel? In fact, sometimes has not your faith even been shaken? We have a tendency. I was having this conversation, and I don't know if you know this, but if you ask my wife, she'll tell you I'm not perfect. All right? Now, Craig is, but with the exception of the pink shirt. But anyways, but the fact of the matter is, brother, what has kept me in the race is that I have a perfect God. What keeps me in the race is that I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and if you're still serving the Lord, it's because you've done the same thing.
Yeah.
You got saved because God is perfect.
Yes, he is.
You got saved because you need somebody perfect. You got saved because you needed somebody to sanctify you where you can't sanctify yourself. You got saved because the holiness of God has dressed you in his holiness. Because you don't have a church, a religion, or anyone else that could dress you in his righteousness. That's where Adam and Eve, remember? Remember there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7? Where they fall into disobedience and now they're trying to hide. And they take this personal initiative and they made these aprons. You got to read that. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So they made these aprons made out of fig leaves. But the problem with an apron, it just covers the front part. And their butt was, I mean, in other words, here God comes and they're still hiding. Because no man-made religion could ever hide your sin. But the beauty is in verse 21. The Bible says that God clothed them. With what? He clothed them with what? Let's go to that verse. Somebody read it out loud. You're going to love this, guys.
What's the verse again?
Verse 21.
What is it?
Genesis 3:21. You're going to love it. Because this is God's initiative. And you're going to see the first symbol of Jesus Christ. The first prophetic symbol of what God would do for us. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 21, you have it? Would you read? Go ahead. Go ahead, read. Whoever has it, read. Go ahead.
The Lord God made for the man and his wife garments of skin with which he clothed them.
All right, so who clothes who? God clothed them. With coats of, where do you get a coat of skin from? Was an animal guilty or innocent? What they did is they cut the throat, they bled out, and there was skin, and that animal had nothing to do with what Adam and Eve did. Just like Jesus. He had nothing to do with our sin. But he was sacrificed, innocently. There's no reason to die. Why will you die? He died already in your place. He paid the price. In fact, he resurrected on the third day.
Amen.
Bless God. Amen.